with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. And today we have a really great story. Wow, I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper John Enright, because he is taking us to another place most of us have never had the opportunity to see. And I am so happy to welcome you, John, to Joy on Paper. And the name of your book, of course, is Pongo Pongo Tango. And it is a jungle beat mystery, and I love it.
Oh, hi, Patsy.
I was so thrilled when I got this book, and I was really excited to discover that you have this series with releases one after another so that people can really binge read.
I like that.
Yeah.
Binge reading, yeah.
You know, people are used to that now. Whenever, you know, something comes on streaming video, they release them all so that people can binge, because people really do like to binge when they get into a character. And I think with your books, this Jungle Beat Mystery Series, which is such a different series and something so exciting, I think people will just be enthralled with it. And they will want to know more, because it is set in American Samoa, where most people have never been. But you write about it so well, it's sort of like becoming a tourist. You're taking a trip with your writing.
Well, I hope so. Yeah, it's a nice place to visit, even in a book.
It is. So the name, as I said, the name of this first one is Pongo Pongo Tango. And, you know, you, of course, spent over 20 years in Samoa. I don't think most Americans even know where it is and don't realize that it's much closer to Australia than to America.
Yeah, it's the only American territory in the Southern Hemisphere. And if you want to find it on the globe, you could draw a line from Hawaii to New Zealand, and about two-thirds of the way down into the South Pacific is Pongo Pongo.
I understand that your first trip there became a teacher at the college.
That's right, yeah. When I first moved there, I moved there as an English teacher at the American Samoa Community College.
And did you ever expect to stay there for so many years?
No, I didn't when I moved there. But it was after 26 years, it was actually kind of hard to leave.
Well, I can imagine. What I like about the story is you have to explain about your detective. I like very much that he was raised in San Francisco and comes back to the island. And so you have this San Francisco vibe from him. Do you want to explain how you developed this character and how to pronounce his name? I'm not sure I will pronounce it correctly.
Yeah, his name is Detective Sergeant Apelu Soifua, and who actually the character was born in American Samoa, and his family moved to San Francisco when he was a child, and then he grew up, went to high school, and started work as a policeman in San Francisco. And then later in his life, after about 20 years in California, he moves back to Samoa to take over his family land and responsibilities of being the new head of the family there. So he's definitely he's a Californian in many ways, but at the same time, he's very much a Samoan. He's 100% Samoan. So part of the purpose of the book, actually, is to show the difference between American worldview and culture and Samoan worldview and culture, and sort of introduce Americans to their Southern Hemisphere fellow citizens.
With this story, really, you bring an awareness to Samoa and to what's happened over the years. Now, America took over the island, I think, a long time ago, 1907, was it?
1900.
Was when
it was. American Samoa was sort of, those islands were sort of ceded to the United States through a treaty that the Samoans had nothing to say about. And Germany took part of the archipelago, and America took the other part.
And then, of course, nearby we have the French Polynesian island.
That's right, and then that's to the east there.
It's a small place. How many square miles is it?
No, I think total land area of the islands is something like 80 square miles or something. Yeah, there's a series of islands, one major island, the island of Tutuila, which is where Pongo Pongo is, and a few out, and then some outlying islands as well. But there's only, you know, at the time that Topelu's stories take place, there's really only about 50,000 people there.
Now, if Americans know anything about it, they probably think of it as tuna capital.
Yes, if they know that, that's pretty good. Yeah, there was two major tuna canneries there. And a lot of your tuna fish in the United States comes from Pongo Pongo.
You know, one of the things that comes through this story, you have this dichotomy, the natives who want to maintain their lifestyle and their beliefs and their way of life, which is very special. And then, of course, you have the I guess it's not just white people, but it's white people, Palangi, right?
Very good, Palangi, yes.
Who have changed everything.
Well, it has been an American territory for, well, over a century now. And the action in this book takes place, oh, about 25 years ago, so, or 30 years ago. So even though there's the Palangis, which means basically, actually in Samoan it means skybreaker, the outsiders, only at the time made up only less than 2% of the population. But they did have the influence of the U.S. dollar, which has an impact wherever it goes, and the culture. So it's part of the purpose of the book is to show there is a friction between those two worlds.
And for Palu, he's in both worlds. After not living there as a child, what problems did he discover?
Actually, I think part of the problem was that the Samoa that he remembered from his childhood was not the Samoa that he returns to, which has become more Americanized and is not as simple as it was when he was a child. So his culture clash, his culture shock, is more that Samoa has changed, and he has to kind of re-enter a new place. But it's still Samoa, but he's different, and so is the place.
And then being a San Francisco detective, he works on a different level. His experience in crime is certainly in a different level. How does he work with this new challenge in this first book? There's some question about if he's acting too strong as a detective, and they try to sort of hold him back.
He does have the constant problem of applying his San Francisco learned skills in Samoa and being sensitive to what's there. And I think in the books he generally does pretty well with that. He's not by any mainland measure a totally efficient cop. He lets people get by. He works inside the culture instead of against it. So that's part of his learning experience.
Tell us about this mystery in the first book. The basic plot is.
Oh, okay. The basic plot has to do with drugs being smuggled in and his attempts to deal with that. But he has to discover, first of all, that that is what the problem is. And part of it is dealing with the Palangis, who are somewhat responsible for the methamphetamine coming into the territory. So it's really a detective trying to discover the clues that will lead to who's responsible. So it's a pretty straight police procedural in that respect. But of course, the problems are that that he's working in two different worlds. So one set of clues fits one world, and another set of clues fits another world. So with that, he's got to work it out. And there's a certain amount of his own private life involved in the book as well.
Explain some of his relationships in this book.
Okay, in this first book, he's still married. I'm giving away the books after this one. In the first one, he is still married to his wife, a Samoan wife, whom he met and married back in San Francisco. and he has three children, and he is a family man, but he at the same time is, well, how can I put it, he's getting used to being in Samoa, and his wife is not quite getting there at the same time.
That's intriguing enough, because it's always sort of pick up and move your family to a new place. There's always this problem of who's going to adjust and how they're going to adjust.
I wanted to show that, I wanted to show some of the, not just about the police work in Samoa, but what life was there like. So in the book, he gets out into the villages and he has friends, you know, Samoan friends that are living in the traditional way, so that there's a certain introduction to what's called the Samoa, the way of Samoa, and which was part of my purpose in writing the book, was that I wanted to show to American readers what living in another culture was like, and especially a culture that is so fascinating as I found Samoan culture and life there.
For the reader, there is this element of being immersed in a new culture, not something that we're familiar with. And perhaps the closest thing is recently Robert McCaw has written this series set in Hawaii. And he's also very thoughtful about the natives and about their way of life, and sort of honoring that, which is exactly what you're doing in your series.
Well, I hope the readers are ready for it. I hope they're interested in finding out about other places and other people. And certainly, I think that's part of being a human and being a cognizant person is discovering what's different, you know, what's not like you.
Definitely, I think people will find this fascinating. Because you do, you know, after all of your years there and being part of the culture and being part of, you know, it's a small place, so you must have known practically everybody there. So for you, for yourself, when you first got there, was it a big cultural shock for you? Try to live like an expat without immersing yourself in the culture? Because I was an expat. Well, almost all the Americans, they continue to be expats, but I immersed myself in the country and I learned the language. I got a different feel than most of the expats.
Well, first of all, most of the expats are passing through and don't stay 26 years, are more like they're under contract or they're just moving on. My job, I mean, after teaching at the college, I run an environmental education organization there. And for 13 years, I was the state historic preservation officer. So I was kind of immersed in the culture. And I married a Samoan lady. I adopted a Samoan son. And although I never became Samoan, I never could. I tried to be as I tried to be as non-expat as possible. And just be a citizen, be a member of the community.
In the book, you talk about the problems, some of the problems in general, you know, for natives or indigenous people of a place, the changes are sometimes pretty horrendous for their environment.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And Samoans have been, over the century and a quarter of American presence there, Samoans have been amazingly resilient in their culture, in their language, and in their practices. They have an attitude, I think, towards Palangi is just sort of like, well, they come and they go, and they never really do much, you know. And Samoans just continue as Samoans. On the other hand, there is the impact of such things as Western food and diet, which has changed Samoans a lot. There's things like pickup trucks and TV, and the impact of American dollar everywhere. But at the same time, Samoans, I think, is especially admirable in their ability to remain themselves. to remain and be proud of being Samoan. So it's a special place that way.
And you really create a very atmospheric book that I think people will enjoy. One of the things you mentioned there about the pollution that comes around, well, any industry, but particularly in this canning business.
Yes.
Are things getting better? Are they tightening up laws and rules so that all of the reefs and everything aren't destroyed?
Yes, there has been progress that way. There has been. And part of that, we can thank the United States laws for part of that. I mean, with the EPA has, you know, moved in, and OSHA and those federal agencies have a presence there now, which helps to restrain the incoming polluters. And there has been progress, definitely. And it's still a lovely place to visit. I do want to mention, you know, the other three books in the series continue, you know, the whole theme, and that there'll be a fifth book coming out soon, I hope, in the same series.
Yeah, it's really... I like the idea of having them released shortly after each other, because I think, I don't know what your publicity campaign is going to be, but I think that if people get into the sort of swing of things, once you start with the first one, and this one is Pongo Pongo Tango, which is here in July, and then in August you're going to have Fire Knife Dancing, and in September The Dead Don't Dance, and then in October Blood Jungle Ballet. So people can get into that binge mode. I love to get into that binge mode where you read boom, 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 one after another, and the characters are with you, and you feel like you're there with them. You're traveling around the island with them. I love that.
Good. Well, I hope you read the rest of it. I hope you have time to read the rest.
Well, I will. Of course I will. I definitely will. Because I just found them fascinating. I wanted to know more about Palu and the characters around him and about where his life is going to take him. And I'm sure there'll be some more great mysteries involved. You've been writing for many years, so you're a very talented author. And you do, as I said, capture the feeling of the island, and I think readers will enjoy that.
I think so, too. I share your opinion there.
Yeah, you must have fun with this character. I think when a character takes you over, he becomes part of your life.
I just finished the next book in the series, and you're right. It's sort of like I don't have my friends around anymore.
No. Yeah.
It's like Apelu's on vacation somewhere. I got to bring him back.
That's it. Because once you have that joy on paper and you bring a character to life, they stay with you. And then suddenly they keep sort of nudging you and say, write some more, write some more.
I think of them as cast of characters, almost like actors. You know, you bring them back on the set. Here is your scene.
Well, and mentioning cast of characters, if the rest of the books are as good as this one, and I'm sure they are, I think, again, one of the things that, you know, we do need more and diversified subjects in the streaming video world. So Hollywood, once you get finished with all your strikes and all your arguments and everything, I hope that they'll have a look at this series, because I think it's interesting. You have a wonderful character. Well, all the characters around him, too, are interesting. And this exotic location, which is sort of a combination of exotic and then also with the sort of business side, I can see definitely that this would make a wonderful streaming video series. So once we get through all this, I understand I was talking to a friend in Hollywood, and they said they're like crazy. They're because they're going to have another strike. But once they get over
that,
So once they get over that, they need to look for new properties. So I hope we can get their attention to your writing, because John, you're a terrific writer. You're a solid writer, and that's always my biggest compliment. When a writer is solid, you know that you're in good hands when you pick up that book. And people will be with Pongo Pongo Tango. And you have a website that you want people to go to? JN Wright Author?
Right.
Yeah, jnwrightauthor.com. People, you can go there. John also has blogs. He also has more information that you can discover, but his book is available online. Definitely order it. It's a great read. You will love this character. And I like when readers start on a character and they start to say, well, he's part of my life too. Now I know all about him. So, John, you did a terrific job with this book. Perhaps what we'll do is we'll have you back for the Blood Jungle Ballet. How about that? We'll have you back in October, and we can catch up on the release of all the other books, okay?
That's terrific. Thank you, Patsy.
Okay. You take care now and keep writing. I look forward to talking to you again in October.
Okay. Nice talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. Everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye-bye now.